Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
So the Canadian Football League has a team called the Edmonton Eskimos.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're going to decide to keep their name.
They have?
Yeah, despite some public pressure. I'm Tim Wildman with Abba Tagliano and Steve Jordahl.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, everybody.
Steve, you're wearing burgundy.
It's kind of a purplish thing.
Yeah.
And well, it's
the light over there.
What I'm getting at, it's sort of like the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
Colors and
didn't cross my mind when I chose.
I'm
the shirt,
triggered.
Yeah. Well, sorry. You really don't want me taking the shirt off on the air here.
you don't have to worry about. I don't think about the Washington Redskins name. I think that's going to be changed. I think Dan.
They're already talking about it.
Yeah, I think that's almost a done.
Daniel
deal.
Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, has refused that forever. The idea of change.
The pressure now in terms of the new football stadium, they can't use it. I think that's going to.
FedEx
gonna be,
has told them they're not.
FedEx, gonna. it's going to be too much for him. I don't know what they'll change it to.
That's going to be interesting to see. I tend to agree with you, but that's going to be interesting to see. I would say this though. If you are a person that is woke, if you're one of these NFL players who's going to take a knee during the national anthem, I don't think you should take a paycheck from a team called the Washington Redskins if you have conviction.
Right.
If it's not just convenience, right? But if you have real conviction, you need to say, no, I will not play for a team named the Redskins. You need to trade me. Right? And don't trade me to the Minnesota Vikings. Because the Vikings are known for pillaging.
Yes.
And that's their history, right? The Vikings.
You talk about taking land.
And they're white. And they're white.
You talk about taking land that doesn't belong to you.
Boy howdy.
The Vikings, how long before the Vikings name's got to go, you think, for that reason?
I don't think that's...
After the Redskins are gone?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen because the Vikings only took land from other white people. No minorities involved.
Okay.
And listen, I'm not making fun of historical injustices. I am just saying the woke crowd doesn't care about what the Vikings did. Right.
Okay. All right, so you think the speaking of the NFL, I wanted to quote from Colin Kaepernick. Fellas, because, well, let me just quote from what he said on July 4th. Now, July 4th, 2011, Colin Kaepernick said this: "Happy 4th of July, everyone. I hope everyone has a blessed day." Then, 9 years later, after having some kind of indoctrination go on in his life.
Someone said it was his girlfriend.
Wife.
Or wife.
Girlfriend, whatever.
Yeah.
On July 4th, a couple days ago, he tweeted this: "Black people have been dehumanized, brutalized, criminalized, terrorized by America for centuries and are expected to join your commemoration of, quote, independence while you enslaved our ancestors. We reject your celebration of white supremacy and look forward to liberation for all." You said, Ed, that strikes you as what?
Yeah, that kind of statement, when he says we look forward to liberation for all, to me he's calling for the overthrow of the country. Because if the independence of this country...
He puts independence in quotations as is it's illegitimate.
Yes. He says, while you enslaved our ancestors, we reject your celebration of white supremacy, then he's saying the whole shooting match is illegitimate. And we look forward to liberation for all, which means what? If the entire system is built on white supremacy, then what can liberation mean other than the overthrow of the illegitimate form of government.
Yeah, he used to be used to claim to be a Christian.
Yes.
So it is it's not a departure for him now, but it's interesting. He has been given permission to, or the NFL has been given permission to talk to him about playing again. No one's picked him up yet. But
no. Well, yes. Excuse me. I'm not saying you're wrong, Steve. He, Colin Kaepernick, had a tryout scheduled 3 or 4 months ago for the NFL to come and look at him. And then he moved locations on him in the last minute.
Right.
He was yanking him around, and he wasn't serious about coming back. Even his own fans were on him about that. So, but what strikes me is here's a guy who's making multi-millions of dollars from Nike who holds him up as a national hero. Well, national, that wouldn't be a good word. An international hero, right? Because you wouldn't want to be a national hero. That'd be America.
Right.
Because it's illegitimate. So, but the Nike company, Nike, held him up as their spokesperson, as man of the year. Here's a guy who's basically a communist.
Yeah.
Huh? He totally rejects America and our founding. Yes. And it's July 4th for he said explicitly for Colin Kaepernick is a celebration of white supremacy. It's not a celebration for all of America, and the things that we've overcome and accomplished and done, and we celebrate our ideals, justice for all, freedom, liberty, the greatest place on the earth to live. That's why people still want to come. That's why Colin Kaepernick doesn't leave and go to Angola.
Yeah.
Right. He doesn't leave and go to another country where he could say, hey, this is a model for the world.
Right.
Right here.
Right.
He doesn't do that. He just cashes his check from Nike and
a capitalist
company.
Corporation.
He cashes his check from Nike and then has all the people, laud him as some kind of a champion of human rights.
Do you guys think I'm overstating this? I mean, when he says liberation for all, what does liberation mean other than the overthrow of oppressors?
No, in context, you're right, because he delegitimizes America as a country, and this says we need to liberate.
Yeah, liberation. When the Allies liberated Europe from Nazi control, okay?
Yeah.
That was, you get rid of the guys who are controlling it. And you set them free. I don't know how else to take what he knows. Maybe the guy's just, tweeting
and
not really thinking, and it's just a word. Maybe if you press him, you say, oh, no, that's going a little too far.
No, he's gotten worse
yes.
Anyway, that's what he tweeted, Colin Kaepernick did. We will see if he will continue to be embraced by people like Drew Brees and others in the NFL. Remember that a couple, three weeks ago?
Yeah.
Everybody was, we're sorry we didn't support Colin Kaepernick.
Now, was it the NFL commissioner? Was it Roger Goodell who specifically mentioned Colin Kaepernick?
I think so.
And said we should have listened to him? Was that good,
so.
Roger Goodell?
Yeah.
Or was that Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers?
They've expressed, both of them have expressed that sentiment. But now, I think specifically it was. And now we're going to see, we've been told that the NFL is going to either the first game or all the games play a new national anthem. It's a song called Raise Every Voice and Sing, I believe.
First game I read.
First game?
It's called the Black National Anthem.
Right.
I've never heard of the song. I doubt 99% of the African American players have ever heard of the song.
Have you? Before, you're a music person, Steve. Have you ever heard of the song?
No, it didn't ring. But I'm pretty white. It didn't
okay,
ring, it
but
didn't
they're going to play. They're going to play that song before the national anthem.
Yes.
In game one, I guess is what they.
So
say.
Are the players going to be on the field for that? And are they going to
sure
stand for that and then kneel
for
the national anthem?
I bet you.
This kind of thing is more divisive than they realize. I think football will survive because it's hugely popular, but I could see the NFL losing 10 to 20% of their fan base if they continue down this road.
Why would you force if we had fans by this time in the stands? I don't know if we will or not.
Right.
when the NFL season opens up, if it does, whatever. You are putting people on the spot. So if people are going to know this is going to happen, and are you going to force people who love the national anthem, who love America, you're going to force them to sit down for the black national anthem and then stand up and put their hands over their hearts?
I wondered the same thing.
Over for the national anthem? Are you going to have vice versa for those who hate the national anthem? They're going to stand and put their heart over their hands over their heart for the black national anthem? This is bizarre.
I want to see what happens to the first player who's maybe a Trump supporter who decides to kneel for the black national anthem.
Oh, my goodness. This is to your point, Tim, they are causing more trouble and more division, divisiveness by doing this.
Now, I don't know what they're going to do about things like decals or messaging as part of the NFL proper platform. But let us not forget that it was like 3 years ago when those four Dallas police officers were gunned down. Was it four?
I don't think it's that. It was during the Trump administration, so it was 2 years ago maybe.
Four.
Was it? You think it was four?
Four cops.
Four cops.
Oh, four cops. Okay.
They were gunned down by the black sniper, the sniper who happened to be black, I guess I should say. But he was trying to take them out because they were white police officers. And then the Cowboys wanted to have a decal, just a decal on their helmet, I think, in show of support for the Dallas police.
Right.
Policeman.
It was 2016.
To commemorate that.
Wow, that long ago.
And the NFL said no.
No political messages.
No political messages. So we'll see if they change their stance
based on
what the politics are.
They will not be against all political messages, I guarantee that. Whether they go to the extent of, I don't know. I would not be surprised to see BLM, talking about the organization, Black Lives Matters decals or socks or something. I would not be surprised to see that if the NFL season opens up.
Cancel culture is so powerful
right now.
It is. You know, they can make corporations. They can make they're trying to make Facebook bend to their purposes.
Yeah.
And there's a real discussion going on at the largest company in the world.
How have we gone from a horrible incident of police abuse, which led to the death of George Floyd, to
never
championing socialism, communism, and atheism?
Never let an opportunity go to waste.
I mean, this thing is just mushroomed, quote, out of control.
No, not quote. Actually, literally out of control.
It's out of control, yet it's in control. These people.
It's being controlled, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. You're right, Ed. Is Drew Brees, for example, going to stand for the, quote, black national anthem and then kneel for the real national anthem?
Oh, my goodness. And see, this is the kind of thing when you bend to the woke crowd like Drew Brees did, he caved. When you do that, you've got to be a loyal subject.
They own you.
They own you. Now, you can't split hairs. If you're Drew Brees, you can't say, "Well, listen, I'm willing to kneel for the national anthem, the national anthem, but I can't stand for yours." You know, the black national anthem, you're not going to be able to split hairs. You got to be all in.
You know what? I just don't think a majority of African Americans are for all this divisiveness. I just don't think that's the case at all. I don't sense that. I do think there's a segment that maybe 10 to 20% who are trying to push this thing. Push this idea of we're a horrible country and all white people are evil, and you know what I'm saying. But I was just thinking, who has the greatest rendition of, is it America the Beautiful?
Which one? Whitney Houston at the Super Bowl.
How about Ray Charles?
Oh yeah, Ray Charles.
Ray Charles, an African American man, has one of the most patriotic songs. I just don't remember this anti-patriotism that's being pushed by Colin Kaepernick And a lot of these Black Lives Matters folks, the vast majority of African Americans love our country.
I agree.
Huh?
Yep.
I agree.
Absolutely.
And what's probably difficult for them, although I'm not in their shoes, is that they probably the majority do believe there needs to be some changes in the relationship, especially in the big cities, between the minority communities and the police department. And they're all for some of those changes,
yes,
but they are not for all this over here. I would guarantee you the vast majority of Black people living in these inner cities are saying, no, do not defund the police.
Right. Are you
crazy?
They're
the only ones keeping us protected from the gangs.
Right. And so I think the vast majority of Americans, of African Americans, are patriotic people who love this country and don't want to just burn it to the ground.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like Colin Kaepernick's basically suggesting,
yes,
at least politically, symbolically, burning it to the ground. Well, you had the Black Lives Matter,
yep,
guy the other day on national television with was it with Martha McCallum, saying, he said, burn it to the ground, burn the system to the ground. He, yeah, said, I'm not going to say whether I mean that literally or not. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Right.
Yeah. So, all right, but it takes a brave person to stand up to this mob mentality crowd out there in the woke world. Because they control the Democrat Party for the most part. They control businesses, big business. I don't necessarily think the executives or the board of directors on these companies are all woke people.
But they're businessmen.
They're businessmen. Well, and they're easily pressured by and so you got them, you got the entertainment crowd, mm-hmm, which is all in
journalism.
With wokeness, journalism's all in. With the left-wing woke,
college education professors,
the academia's all in. So those are the four or five of the leading influencers of culture right there that we just mentioned.
Yeah,
you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve,
let me add to that list. Disaffected Republicans, anti-Trump Republicans. This week we're going to get a new anti-Trump Republican group that's raising a lot of money to try to defeat incumbent Republicans, mostly try to defeat President Trump. The name of this is the Bravery Project. It's being headed by former Illinois Representative Joe Walsh, a Republican who ran against President Trump for a couple weeks at the beginning of the campaign. That makes now at least seven groups like this that are trying to come against President Trump. But now they're saying, and this is the burn it to the ground mentality, they're also saying that they have to get the Senate, that the Senate can't, anybody who enabled President Trump has to go. Therefore, they're working, and this new group, working to get the Senate in Democrat hands. Thinking that once that happens, everything will go back to normal and they'll be able to wrangle and wrestle again. They have no clue.
I said this in the last hour and, you know, teased this story when you were going to be coming on. I said, I have never in my life, in all my years of following politics, and I started, believe it or not, in the seventh grade, paying attention to politics, I've never seen an entire nation and almost an entire world allied against a single man, Donald Trump. It beats all I've ever seen. I mean, this is, you've got so-called Republicans trying to not only get him out of office and get a Democrat like Joe Biden elected, but then turning over the U.S. Senate to the Democrats when it was a Chuck Schumer last week or the week before that was hinting that if they take the Senate, they'll get rid of the filibuster.
Right.
I mean, this is insanity.
Listen to what Bill Kristol, another anti-Trump Republican, quotes. He says, life is full of imperfect choices. Even if Democrats have 52 senators, several are going to be John Hickenlooper, Mark Warner, Michael Bennett, who are pretty moderate Democrats. They still believe in a free market system. That's not how they're going to rule. The radical way, is, he says, that's not going to be the party that governs.
See, this is part of the split in the Republican Party, and Bill Kristol's part of it.
Yep.
You have the Republican establishment and people like Bill Kristol who are free market conservatives and maybe some foreign policy interventionists and that kind of thing, but they do not care about social issues.
No.
You know, they don't care.
No.
So these are the people who don't want to argue about abortion anymore, don't want to argue about transgenderism anymore, they don't want to talk about the family anymore, they don't want to talk about God or the Bible or Israel or any of those kind of things, and Donald Trump has been on the wrong side of all those issues in the opinion of these people.
Yeah, they are globalists,
yes,
like the as much as the Democrats. And you know, it's said that the conservative movement is rests on three pillars. There's military foreign policy. There's economic conservatism, and there's social conservatism.
Right.
They're doing away with the social thing. That means that stool is going to be leaning.
They would
on
like
two.
To.
They would like to. That means that stool is going to be leaning on two legs. That's not going to stand up very well.
Right.
If they had their way.
Yep.
All right, what do you got left?
I wanted to end the show, and you were very gracious to allow me to do this. You know the song, God Bless the USA, that Lee Greenwood made famous 20 years or so ago? Well, he has rearranged the song, and he has released, for this 4th of July, he released a new version of the song. I wanted to play the heads and tails of it, the very beginning and the very ending of this song, to give you a flavor. Producer Brent has put this whole a video of the whole thing up on our Facebook page. He uses military soldiers throughout this video. Let's listen to this.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life.
Brings me to tears every time I hear it.
Well, he's still got it. I mean, he's still a good voice still, and that's a powerful song. And you know what? It's one of those kind of older songs that you go, boy, I've heard that a bunch. But in these days, you sit and it has new meaning.
Yeah,
you know.
So. I tell you, I was looking at what I mentioned earlier. if you want to be inspired, go watch Ray Charles singing America the Beautiful.
That's another one, yes.
I just pulled it up on YouTube, but I haven't had a chance to watch it. But that is the best rendition of that song.
Whitney Houston in the Super Bowl 1990.
Oh, Whitney Houston, what a voice.
Yeah.
That's a tragedy that we lost her. What a voice she had.
All right. Steve, thank you, my friend.
My pleasure.
We appreciate you listening, folks, to today's issues here on American Family Radio. Again, our email address is comments@afr.net. We podcast this show at afr.net. And we thank you, as always, for listening. So you have a wonderful day. Keep listening to American Family Radio. We will have a great lineup of programs this afternoon. We'll be back here tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues. Take care.